If it's happening in Fairfield County, Lisa has something to say about it. 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And joining us right now is our dear friend Martha Zala from WDUN in Georgia. Good morning, Martha. Hello.
Good morning. We're just trying to stay dry down here.
Why? What's happening?
Oh, it's been pouring rain for about 3 days, but we're supposed to have some really good weather on the other side of it, so we're looking forward to it.
We have 9 inches above our average in terms of the summer rain, and because of it, it's predicting an extraordinarily beautiful fall foliage season here. But we were deluged. Yeah. We've still been deluged. Yeah, yeah. It's incredible how much water. And you know what the pity of it is, Martha, to me, is that we can't somehow save the water for what we know will be the inevitable drought, which we've experienced in Connecticut, and we know is being experienced in other parts of the country, that somehow we can't scoop up or redrain or rechannel this water to where it's needed most to fight all the forest fires in other parts of the country. It seems such a terrible waste of all the storm water.
It really has, but at the same time, I mean, what's happened in Southern California and around California, I mean, that's what happens when you try to turn a desert into a wonderful area and you divert water. I mean, the problems they have today are largely because they've been diverting water for 75 years.
Yeah, I understand that. But the diverting of the water is one big issue. The other issue is how much water is coming from the skies. And we're getting these torrential storms. We're getting these torrential storms, these hurricanes, and all this water is just being wasted. I can't stand it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is really, it's very similar to the cycle we had from about 1925 to 1935. You know, you remember the Dust Bowl, and there was whole parts of the United States that weren't getting any rain at all. But what was interesting about it, not many people lived there. So it didn't affect many people.
Yeah. Well, it affected those who were written about in The Grapes of Wrath, though. That's quite a story John Steinbeck wrote. Yeah, the Okies. Okies from Finocchi. That's true. Poor, poor people. Anyway, so, all right, well, I'm sorry you're getting rain. I wanted to ask you about something because I know that you've been very active in education. If I recall, you were or are on the State Board of Education in Georgia, Martha. What do you think about... Okay, you still are. So, perfect. So, Marietta, Georgia, front page of the Times just 2 days ago, talking about something that I've been trying to shout from the rooftops, which is that our schools need to get with the program and stop closing as a result of COVID. And in Marietta, Georgia, they've decided that testing instead of closing is the way to go. What do you think about that? And is it spreading throughout Georgia?
It really is. I mean, most of the school systems in Georgia are open. The ones that are the iffiest are in the most highly populated areas, Atlanta City Schools, Fulton County Schools, DeKalb County Schools. But even those schools have figured out a way to be open. And look, I'm a local control person. I believe that if, for example, Decatur City Schools has decided that they want a mask mandate within their school system, that's fine with me. Other school systems have said, taken an approach like they've done in Marietta, where they're going to be testing students, and they're going to be doing that on a regular basis. So I think you have to do what works for your school system within certain guidelines. And I think that that's what's appropriate. Marietta has also done a terrific job in really changing their curriculum to where they are preparing students for the jobs that are out there. It's kind of like the old school technical high school, but it's training people for the jobs of tomorrow and then being able to also go on to college and be college preparatory.
So, do you think that, and with that, how is COVID altogether doing in Georgia? In other words, I hear what you're saying, that most of the schools are not being closed. Are you getting the data that we're getting here about the lack of learning that took place last year?
Yeah, absolutely. We contract with a group called Curriculum Associates, and they've made a presentation to our board and to boards around the state about where Georgia students are. Obviously, there's students kind of come in three buckets. They are the kid that loved online learning. You know, there are those kids that they not only got their work done, but they're ahead now because that's just the way they learn. Then there's the kid that, especially in fourth grade, because if you're not a proficient reader by fourth grade, you start to lag behind. There is that kid that didn't do well and was afraid to ask for help or couldn't ask for help because they didn't have enough internet access or something like that. And then there's the kid that's just the average kid that's always going to pedal along. But one thing that is happening in our rural areas is a lot of money has been set aside for broadband and for that kind of thing. And so we have one thing that this has pushed us to is to really fix some of the rural broadband problems because, you know, we do have wide open spaces in Georgia, and it's really hard to get good internet connection in a wide open space.
Are you seeing, because what we're seeing is that it's at least approximately they're 5 months behind where they were supposed to have been in their curriculum. I mean, it's a half a year. It's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's in the 3 to 6 month range, just depending on the grade. And, of course, we were back in school last year pretty much all year. They went out from November to the middle of January when the cases were so high. But other than that, they were in school last year. We did adjust our end-of-year tests, though, so because we didn't want to have a bunch of high school kids do terrible on that end-of-year test and then it really mess up their opportunity to go to college over this one thing. And so we did adjust what it would count on the testing. So, yeah, we've been proactive all the way along the way, and we have tried to give school systems the tools they need to be open.
Yeah, well, I have to tell you, I think that I don't think we're going to be judged very well, you know, 10 or 15 years from now if we ever do any looking back, which America notoriously doesn't like to do. But I don't think we served our kids well, and I said so during the epidemic. I don't think we did. I don't think we served them well.
We didn't serve our kids well, and we have used science as a weapon instead of science as a way to educate people. And we're going to pay for some of those decisions. I think there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so Martha Zala, you're broadcast every single day, WDUN in Georgia. What are your top stories today, non-local, that we here in Connecticut want to know about? What are you thinking about?
The very bad week that Joe Biden has had. That you know, over the last 2 weeks, really, nothing but bad news out of the Biden administration and his credibility. Of course, we live in a very conservative district that votes about 70% Republican. So, you know, they haven't been thrilled with Joe Biden, period. But, you know, beginning with the drawdown in Afghanistan and how that went all the way to this border crisis, you know, it's been a tough couple of weeks for the president, and I think I wish that somebody would just say, okay, this went wrong, and here's how we're going to fix it. You know, I go back to, you know, the Bay of Pigs that happened in 1962. John Kennedy could have said this was Eisenhower's plan. Eisenhower was going to do this, and he made the agreement, and so I just did what he said, so it's not my fault. But he didn't do that. He said, I'm the president, I take responsibility. And he didn't say, but blah, 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 you know? Mm-hmm. So I just think we need better leadership. And I don't care whether it's Donald Trump or it's Joe Biden. We are not getting the leadership we deserve right now.
It's really hard to it's really hard to be president. Like no two ways about it. It's really hard to be president. And when you're president, you're going to be making decisions and you're going to be opening yourself up to criticism. And no matter what you do, you know, some of these, like the immigration thing, look, Afghanistan, I think, was a self-inflicted wound. I think Afghanistan is squarely at the feet of Biden and his administration, the way they went about it. But I do think that it was going to be a horrible ending anyway, because inevitably we were giving the country back to the Taliban. So he ripped the Band-Aid off in a particularly painful, ugly way. but it was going to be an ugly rip. But it was a self-inflicted wound. The way it was handled was very poor by all accounts, particularly the accounts of the Americans that were there and the military. And it was bad. But with respect to immigration, it's ironic, isn't it, Martha? We're chatting with Martha Zoller, that the Biden administration is actually, with the exception of separating families, which is a policy they reversed, they're basically following the Trump administration and sending people back without an asylum hearing, which is something that the Trump administration was roundly criticized for by Democrats.
But they went back to that. Initially,
they went, that's what I'm saying. Right.
Yes.
The Biden administration is doing what the Trump administration did.
Yes.
That's my point. Yes. Their response to Haiti and all of these things is to take these people and send them back and not allow them to wait for an asylum hearing. They're not letting them wait. And I think the majority of Americans agree with them, by the way.
The first 6 months, though, they let a lot of people come in and wait for hearings. Then they realized it wasn't going to work. And,
that's right.
And, you know, you can't just open the floodgates. There's a reason why we have quotas, and there's a reason why we do things. And, again, I will always remind your listeners, and I remind people wherever I can, the United States of America immigrates legally to this country every year more than the rest of the world combined. So you can't say we're anti-immigrant. We're not anti-immigrant, but you've got to follow a certain process to do it, because what's happening is, Lisa, is these people that are paying $10,000 to these coyotes, or they're indebted $10,000 to these coyotes, and they can't pay it back. So they end up in sex trafficking in order to pay it back. And it's one of those kind of things like doing a deal with the mob. You never can pay them back. And so basically, this is 21st century slavery in the way they were doing it before. It's much better to just return them back to the countries they came from. And then let's do, again, I'm quoting John Kennedy again, but he was right on a lot of things. Let's focus on this hemisphere. Let's focus on what can help in this hemisphere and then move on to the rest of the world.
Well, we don't have a choice because the people that clamor at the southern border are not necessarily from this hemisphere, right? I mean...
They're not all. No, they're not. It's like 80 countries, I think.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are, the highest number of them are South Americans. And look, we need to be prepared for somebody coming across the border that wants to do us harm. Because when they're overrun like this, it's hard to check every person.
The image of the people on horsebacks with whips was not a good optic, no matter how you look at it.
Well, but it wasn't whips. Yeah. It was their reins. But they didn't have whips on them. They had reins.
Yeah. Well, but they look like whips. Yeah. They're leather straps.
They did. It wasn't a good image. But, you know, but what do you do when you've got a mass?
I don't know. I tell you, I feel for the Border Patrol people. Who wants that job? Not me. I don't want that job.
Really.
You know? We put people in these terrible jobs and then we criticize them for doing their job, but they're terrible jobs, in my opinion. They're awful, thankless jobs to do this kind of thing. And, you know, I don't know. It's tough. It's really tough. I think it's an existential problem of any president. I think the president who could solve the illegal immigration dilemma has not been born yet. It's an existential dilemma.
Yeah. Well, and what's sad is that really, if we were to fix the legal immigration situation, which is that we've got a system that makes people wait ridiculous amounts of time for green cards, and if we could fix that, then it would help solve the illegal immigration problem. Also, in the 50s and 60s, we immigrated about 400,000 farm workers a year back and forth from California, New Mexico, and Arizona, and the Midwest, back and forth by hand. It was called the Bracero Program. And we can't do it today? That just, you know, I understand we need farm workers. We need farm workers. There's no doubt about that. But can't we figure it out? We've got more technology than ever, and we do a worse job than we did 75 years ago. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Other than that, honey, how are you? I saw on your Facebook page a beautiful family picture of you with the extended clan. Is everything good? Yeah?
Everything's good. We have 5 grandchildren, 1 on the way, and it's all good.
That's amazing. I don't have that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to rush anybody. But
don't
no,
rush
I'm
anybody.
I don't want to. I'm not rushing anybody. No.
It's all my older boys. Anyway.
I know. All right, Martha Zala, WDUN. Fabulous as always. Thanks so much for calling in today. We always appreciate
your
input. You're so smart. Thank you so much.
Thank
That's
you.
My friend Martha Zala. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up.